His Holiness the Dalai Lama, His Holiness Sayyidina Tahir Fakhruddin.
Can I touch you?
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I would now request Sayyidina Sahib to award the prize to His Excellency, His Holiness, and India's guest, the Dalai Lama.
Thank you. Thank you.
Respected elder brothers, sisters, and then rest of brothers and sisters.
I feel great honor to listen these marvelous, how to say, the speakers, so to talk. Wonderful. Now there's not much choice what I should say. But I want to, you see, to start my talk from negative side. Look. You see, thousands of different species of mammals on this planet. We human beings are, in a way, marvelous, in a way, troublemaker. Over several thousand years, you see, including violence, and eventually violence mobilized violence, including thousands of people. Then, say, too many sort of emphasis, too much emphasis about the importance of violence. It's a much weapon. Carry research about weapon, and finally, Newton bomb, nuclear bomb. So this, if today, I mean, still there, in spite a lot of talking, free nuclear weapon, but still, you see, people spend more money making more weapon, including nuclear weapon. If these weapon use, not question of one side victory, one side defeat, no. Entire humanity, entire world may disappear. So, on top of that, the global warming, also one additional source of problem of this planet. Then human population also increasing. When I first came to India as a refugee, then we used to say 6 billion human being, and now 7 billion human being. So violence, war is part of human history. Since, you see, the violence is something normal way to gain something for your own interest. So even religion used for violence. Now that's our past history and recent past century, 20th century. Too many violence, war. First World War, Second World War, before that, in the European continent, a lot of war. In India also, you see, a lot of violence. If we content re, content re, choshiva, content, what our sort of way of life, way of thinking, as past. Then I think this 21st century also can be miserable century. A lot of violence, a lot of killing. In 20th century, according to some historian, over 200 million of people killed. Then nuclear weapon, just one bomb, I think over 100,000 people killed. Still, you see, people, in spite of talking sort of this dangerous thing about these weapons, still people are producing more weapon. And selling weapon also one good way to carry business. And whenever we find some disagreement, the first sort of reaction from our mind is how to solve this by force. That's the present world sort of situation. Now we have to think. You see, this present condition go continuously. Then what will happen? Oh, I think very serious, very serious. So then we have to think, why this happened? How it happened? Now, ultimately, question of human emotion. Then various different religious traditions. Is the method to deal with destructive emotions such as anger, hatred. So all major religious traditions have same potential to reduce human emotion, destructive emotion. In order to reduce destructive emotion, the only way is try to increase positive emotion. That is love, compassion. With that practice, automatically the sense of forgiveness, tolerance, contentment, self-discipline, these are the sort of the counterforce, these destructive emotions. So all major religious tradition is carrying this message. And we can see, we can witness among the sort of spiritual practitioner, among the Christian, among the Muslim, among the Hindu, among the Jews. Me personally also, I have a lot of genuine good practitioner, wonderful human being, such as late Mother Teresa. And then one occasion in Spain, Barcelona, what is it? Montserrat. I met one Catholic monk. I was told he spent 5 years in mountains, hermit life. Tea, bread, no other sort of meal, not much meal. Fortunately, I met him. He came to see me, and I asked, I was told you spent 5 years in the mountain. Hermit life, and what kind of practice you carry? And his answer is practice of love. When he answered that, I noticed in his eyes something very special, significance. So that's the, so what's the kasata? Pangpokhar, kasurta. What's the, that's the fact, you see, all major religious tradition have same potential to produce such wonderful human being. So now question is, you see, whether we carry our faith sincerely or seriously or not. Just, you see, dress like Buddhist monk, but emotionally here, not much change. So, even among Tibetan Buddhist community, they're sectarian, sometimes you see, create some problems. So not only Buddhist and non-Buddhist, but also, you see, within Buddhist community, within Tibetan Buddhist community, sometimes sectarian. In the past, even killing also, you see, happened. So all this, you see, one way, all religion have the same potential to produce warm-hearted person, compassionate person. Unless you practice sincerely, then religious faith also create concept of we and they. So now we need the, and then out of 7 billion human beings, about 1 billion non-believer, as someone rightly mentioned. So these also human beings. Then now, one sort of real sort of basis of our hope is, now scientists, they say, basic human nature is more compassionate. They say, constant anger, fear, constant too much stress is very bad for our health. And constant sort of, I said, the anger actually eating our immune system. Not talking about heaven or not talking about next life, but simply this very life. You see, too much anger comes, ruined your own physical condition. Not only ruin your happy family or happy community. So now thinking this line, through education, I usually see that nowadays, I'm telling, in education, we also include hygiene of physical. Now we need hygiene of emotion. That's very important. You see, the practically, whether religious believer or non-believer, the practical level, you see, more peaceful mind, the health better, and the whole atmosphere is better. Peace, friendship. We are a social animal. Social animal, friendship, very important. How to bring friendship? Not by force, not by money, but sincere warm-heartedness. When you show your sincere sorrow, a sense of concern of their well-being, then trust come. Trust is the basis of our friendship. We are a social animal. We need friendship. Like that. Then sometimes I have teasing the ladies. You see, they spend some money for because of beauty survey, cost cosmetic. But with beautiful face, what angry face nobody like. Even, you see, the physically not very attractive, but showing smile and genuine love, and everybody loves that, isn't it? So therefore, firstly, scientists, now they say basic human nature is more compassionate. Then, of course, entire 7 billion human beings come from their mother. All 7 billion human beings, including those today's troublemaker, all received maximum affection from their mother. So all have the seed of compassion to show other because they themselves received maximum affection from their mother. Their very survival, you see, depend on mother's love, mother's affection. So that's we all same. So all have the same experience and the same sort of potential to show others love, affection, like that. Then common sense. If you use common sense, for example, your neighbor, one family, neighbor, see, no matter see, they, whether rich or poor, is always showing friendly attitude. human face, you feel very happy. Whenever passing through that sort of neighbor, you want to say hello, or good morning, or good afternoon, like that. Another family, maybe very rich, never show human sort of face like that. Then you try to avoid. That's our common sense. Oh, I was told, some my friend, suicide rate in big city, more number. In farmland, countryside, less. Why? Countryside farmer, you see, they work occasionally together with their neighbor. So there is stronger sense of neighbor, community. So less lonely feeling. And workers in the big city lacking that. So some difficult situation happen. Then become very desperate and then suicide, like that. So therefore, basic human nature is firstly compassionate. The secondly, social animal. And then today's world, the world economy, national boundary, no longer much relevant. So now we have to think oneness of 7 billion human beings. Not talking about religion, simply the reality, we have to live together. Eastern world depend, their future depend on West. Western future depend on East. Similarly, Northern world depend on Southern world, like that. So we have to think a sense of one human community. It is possible. Look, European Union, till Second World War, lot of violence, too much emphasis, my nation, their nation. After Second World War, too many violence, too many sort of suffering, people become more mature, now thinking from wider perspective. So they develop European Union. Because of European Union, last few decades, I think no longer any danger of fighting among these member states. If European Union not develop, then I think last few decades, I think there must be some killing among these different states. Now India also is one example. East India, South India, West India, North India, Central India, different language, different script, but all live in Union of India. So it is thinking the union of entire India. Not too much emphasis the particular sort of state. Is it Tamil Nadu or Karnataka? Karnataka state, like that, or Punjabi. So, you see, we emphasize more important union, concept of union, like a European Union. So eventually, I think through education, through awareness, on the basis of scientific finding and common sense and common experience, eventually we have to work through education to develop a sense of oneness of 7 billion human beings. Eventually, these border, like today's, is Pakistan and India, bigger number of Muslim in India, but very peaceful. And the language, Urdu language, also is common. And many sort of habit, same. But political reason, Pakistanis, Hindustanis. You see, not necessarily division due to religion, but some other reasons. So then sometimes people deliberately she create that kind of sort of distance. It is much better. Pakistani, you see, consider Hindustani, Indian, are their big neighbor. And economically, even climatically, I think very much interdependent. You see, realize that the religious is no problem in this country. Wonderful, large number of Muslim there, large number of Christian, large number of Hindus. And Jain, not many, and Buddhists also not many, but I think the whole world major religious tradition live together in this country. Not a political reason. Over 2,000 years, 3,000 years, all these different religious traditions live together. Oh, then Jews also here. See, in this country, here they are Jew, something distance. They are Christian. They are Muslim. No. We take for granted all are Indian, live together. Mutual respect, as already you see mentioned like that. So now, today's world, too many violence, and due to short-sightedness, in that respect, Indian tradition about education, about mind, education about consciousness, emotion. Ancient Indian psychology, highly developed. When I discuss with modern scientists or psychologists, I find ancient Indian psychology highly developed. So this is the way, the method to tackle our emotion. Frankly speaking, existing modern education is very much oriented about material value. So that's not adequate. Look, many countries materially highly developed with the help of modern education, technology, but a lot of trouble due to emotion. So now in that respect, the existing education system in the West not adequate to deal with our emotion. Now here, ancient Indian sort of knowledge, how to deal with our emotion. There's thousand years old of concept of ahimsa. Ahimsa must go with karuna. And with that, the secular in this country. Secular means respect all religion and also respect non-believer. That's a great thing. So now there is a real possibility to promote or to develop education, including moral education and education about emotion, and then how to deal with this emotion as a purely academic subject, not religious subject. I think India have the potential to develop that. So now I totally sort of dedicated rest of my few years of life. I'm trying to revival of ancient Indian knowledge, how to tackle our emotion. That's something, not religious way, but simply, you see, the hygiene of emotion like that. So I think India can make, I think, some contribution regarding inner peace. Only through inner peace, real peace can come. Without inner peace, full of anger, how to develop peace? Impossible. So this country, great nation, over a billion populated, most populated democratic country, I think very stable. one my critic about Indian, sometimes you little bit lazy. Like a Punjabi, should work hard. Sometimes I feel like that. So, see, century-old knowledge about our emotion, about our mind, and then modern education, modern technology, all these combined, plus more hardworking. I think India can be a great nation, physical comfort as well as mental comfort. And through that way, India can make certain significant contribution regarding peaceful world through inner peace, like that. So now here, India's example, religious harmony, is really wonderful, really wonderful. So please, you see, remind the public that this religious harmony, then I think, particularly now, at the time now, beyond India's sort of border, then Afghanistan, then Syria, this area, conflict in the name of religion. Many people, I think, around this very moment, we enjoy peace, peace, harmony, and some peaceful atmosphere, but same planet, same human being, killing due to different religious name. And then millions of people are facing starvation, particularly children in Yemen. When I saw these things, I cannot do anything, but just sometimes tear come. So that's today's world. So we have to make effort. Firstly, to maintain India's thousand-year-old religious harmony. Then, you see, share with other spiritual brothers, sisters, like that. So, that I want to tell you. See, sometimes it is useful to think negative side. Then our mind wake up. If you see things normal, then our mind sometimes remain rest. So more serious things, think. Then our mind become more alert. Then we have this special brain. You have the ability to find ways and means to overcome that. Okay. Thank you. Now some questions, I think.
This is my question to His Holiness Dalai Lama Ji. So it was a wonderful treat. I have a very simple question. So how should we separate religion from politics, or politics from religion?
I think politics, economy, and scientists and medical, these are human profession. So different profession, and related with well-being of human community. Religion giving us the moral principle. So with moral principle, the scientists become very good scientists. The politicians also good will good trusted, compassionate politician, and business also. So religion concerning is our basic is a way of thinking, and honest, truthful. These are the responsibility of religion. Then other profession, you see, a different field. So any human activities carried by anger, then destructive. Any human creative because of professions carried by honest, truthful, more compassionate, then everything becoming more constructive. That's my view. So politics was one instrument to solve problem, community. But politicians sometimes, you see, not much sort of moral principle. Then politics become dirty politics. Similarly, religion. Teach religion with negative emotion, negative motivation, then religion also become dirty religion.
Very well said.
Oh, everything depends on your motivation.
Yes.
Oh. So religion provides us good motivation. That's my view.
Your Holiness, you are a blessing of all humanity. You inspire us to love and to be kind. And we live in a world where we celebrate mediocrity. And we define secularism as mediocre, like just a tolerance. And I think secularism can be much more than
sectarian.
Just
secularism.
Tolerance.
Secular.
Yeah. So my question to you, Your Holiness, is you talk eloquently about a lack of emotional intelligence as being the cause for most of our problems that we create as human beings. How do you integrate training in human emotional intelligence? How do you integrate emotional intelligence in our training, in our parenting, in education? You are so well connected to the polity, policy, and governance all over the world. How do you advocate to integrate emotional intelligence into curriculums, into parenting, Your Eminence?
That actually, we are now last few years, we are working on it. Now, for example, in Buddhist literature, which translated from India, about 300 volumes, according the content, we can divide three parts. One part, science. One part, philosophy. One part, religion. So, religion for Buddhist. But science and certain sort of philosophical views are academic subject. So now we already compile about science. Science means here mainly the human mind, human emotion, and how to tackle emotion. Last 30 years, I have serious sort of discussion with modern scientists, mainly four fields: cosmology, neurobiology, then physics, particularly quantum physics. Very similar that of Nalanda thought, quantum physics view, very similar. One occasion, the Indian nuclear physicist late Raja Ramana, he told me, the quantum physics in the West, something new. In this country, over 2,000 years already developed that concept. So, quantum physics, including quantum physics, then psychology, these four fields. It is actually visual learning. We learned useful information about Big Bang or these things. Then the basic element, scientists now still mysterious. Some ancient Indian sort of literature mentioned about five elements: space, energy, heat, liquid, then solid. So everything come from space. Then everything dissolve into space. That's the way Big Bang theory come. So, according to Indian sort of knowledge, the basic sort of explanation about how to develop Big Bang and how to dissolve world or whole universe, there are plenty of sort of explanation there. Wonderful. Then, neurobiology. Although we have some sort of knowledge including those people who practice yoga at different chakras, at different veins, but still much useful to learn from modern scientists. Then kare. Kare chikti. Then, then psychology. Psychology is concerned, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes I frankly sort of expressing, compare ancient Indian psychology, the Western existing sort of psychology looks like a kindergarten level. Very beginning, kindergarten. Ancient Indian psychology, highly developed. So when we discuss about mind, about the system of these emotion, the many modern psychologists or scientists really admire. They are very, very eager to learn from ancient Indian psychology. So they discuss with scientists, it's mutual benefit. Very good. Like that. So therefore now, the secular education, without touching religion, without talking next life, without talking heaven or hell, simply how to create happy individual. And happy individual means properly use human intelligence. Human intelligence have the ability to make new shape of our emotion. Among the religious people, if may I say so, through prayer, I think limited. You keep here fear, pray, not much effect. Much better to use our intelligence. What is the reason you feel fear? Study the reality. I think much emotion, you see, develop from one dimension. Every event, there are some positive, some negative. So when negative emotion come, we just focusing the one aspect, one dimension, negative side. So the remedy is use human intelligence. Look at from wider perspective. Then you can see different dimension, three dimension, six dimension. Then you will see the reality. So reality, everything more relative, no absolute. So therefore, my American friend, one scientist, he spent many decades dealing with human being or patient who too much disturb due to their anger. So he told me, when someone, you see, develop anger, the object appears very negative. But actually, 90% of that negativeness is mental projection. It is very true. Because look from just one angle. So then exaggerate. That's, of course, the Nagarjuna sort of some text about human sort of psychology, how to develop anger, attachment, exactly she mentioned that. So human intelligence have the ability to deal with our emotion. All these destructive emotions such as anger, fear, no valid reasons, compassion, these things have valid reason. So can improve these through meditation. Because of the familiarize, you can increase. Anger just spontaneously come, but cannot further develop. no solid basis. Like that. So therefore, I feel we call vipassana, analytical meditation, is really very effective about our emotion. And type of yoga like that. Right? Now, last question.
His Holiness, it is an honor to meet you today and listen from you. I'm Dr. Raj Bhayani from USA, here to invite you for our convention in United States in July. But my question is, what is the difference between religiousness and spiritualness? Is there the same thing or two different things?
Religion and spirituality.
Spirituality and religion.
I don't know. According to Oxford Dictionary, perhaps they may have some sort of explanation. But I usually consider religion related with certain sort of, or say the faith. Some say, therefore, some scholar says Buddhism is not religion. Buddhism is science of mind. Some say that. So in any way, you see, more truthful, more honest, these are one level of spirituality without certain faith. That's my view. Of course, religion is, or say, among spirituality, religion is one of them, but another spirituality without faith and caring your work honest, truthful. These are very much related with your own mental emotion. Too much self-centered attitude, then more suspicion, more distrust, then telling lies. These things happen. More compassion, warm-heartedness, everything open. Then you can carry your work transparently. That brings trust. And you yourself also brings self-confidence. Nothing to hide. If you too much emphasis oneself, selfish, then distrust. Oh, look this side. Oh, I don't know. This side. I don't know. So then, little lies, sometimes light lie, sometimes quite heavy lies. So these very much related with self-centered attitude. If you consider other, just human brothers, sisters, of course, emotionally, mentally, physically, same, except you have this beer, I have no beer. These are minor differences. Otherwise, here, brain is concerned 100% same. With that emotion, attachment, or irritation, these also, you see, we have same. So you are, so try to control these things. Like that. So therefore, they believe sameness of human being. For me, very helpful. Whenever I meet some people, including beggar, I consider them same human brothers, sisters. Then immediately we become close friend.
When you hold somebody's beard in Yemen, it means you have made him your friend.
If I too much sort of emphasis, I'm His Holiness Dalai Lama, then actually I myself make lonely person. Out of 7 billion human beings, only one Dalai Lama. So if I consider, Dalai Lama, then you yourself make more sort of uncomfortable. When I emphasize I'm just a human being, one of the 7 billion human beings, then whenever I met some people, another human brother, another human sister, like that, no problem. So that, according to my own experience, the sense of oneness of 7 billion human beings is very, very helpful on individual level. You feel, oh, there are plenty of human brothers, sisters, like that. So we are, we should be practical. We human being, we have this brain, we have this ability to analyze things. So then analyze more realistic way, more holistic way, then we become more realistic. It's too much suspicion, distrust. You can't see the reality. Then every your action, what you want, what is your goal, the method become unrealistic. You have to know the reality. In order to know the reality, you have to use from different angles, from open mind. Keep here selfish, self-centered attitude. Then you want something, something good or something bad fixed. Then you cannot see the reality. When we investigate, your mind should be open. Oh, maybe some negative things may be there, some positive things may be there. Just open. Your mind must be unbiased. With that, you can see the reality. Investigation also then become more realistic. If you put some condition, I want that, oh, and then your mind already biased. So with biased mind, you can't see the reality. Prejudice, yes, like that. So that's my view. As a student of ancient Indian psychology, and also I usually consider I'm half Buddhist monk, half scientist. please don't expel me from religious circle. Thank you. Especially, I very much impressed, you see, the organizer, one of the organizer, one Muslim sort of organization. Really wonderful. Now, these days, in some part of the world, there's some kind of, negative sort of impression about Islam. That's totally wrong. So I always, you see, come out. Since September 11th event happened, I come forward defending Islam. All major religious traditions carry same message of love, compassion, like that. So then some mischievous people, as I mentioned before, among Tibetan Buddhists also, some sectarian, like that. So that's due to human weakness. So among the Muslim also some sectarian. Must be Shia, Sunni, something like that. Oh, so these are narrow-minded, looking just from one angle. Oh, not broad-minded, like that. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Translated one of our Imam's sayings.
Thank you.
In English.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. One book.
Thank you so much.
You may already saw this.
Yes.
Or may not. Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Holiness.
Of course, with my signature.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, here. With my prayer. Okay. Oh, okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay.
It's an honor. It's a true honor.
Thank you.
So, thank you. Thank you.
Pleasure, pleasure indeed. Yes.
Okay, okay, okay. Thank you.